I have ears to hear. And my heart is here. Open right now. To receive. I searched for the Lord's plan this morning. And I felt that chapter 3 of Unlocking the Mysteries of the Kingdom by Wade would be a place where all of us could get a little bit of a gist of where we are in time with God's clock. Now, if you remember, one of the comments that Sue made is she's already aware because the Lord took her into 2060. So we've got at least another 40 years to get our act together. So it's kind of cool. And I have no hesitation to say that the prophet Bob Jones also had a 100-year plan, and we have a copy of that I gave you guys for a while back. But what I'd like you to do is to just understand, again, the coordinates to teach in this time of restoration. So keep that in mind. It is the present time is for restoration, to restore. Restore his creation, which is us. We were under the anointing of Adam. Now, since you're born again, you are now under the anointing of Christ, Jesus, the second Adam. So, in Ephesians 4, he says he gave some apostles as some. I'm sorry. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the works of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Well, you just heard all of you giving a piece to the puzzle. If you were paying attention, there's a lot of different lessons in just every heart coming to a different conclusion, but each one had a special piece to the puzzle. 40 years after the latter rain visitation, in the mid-1980s, there was a fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit that came to be known as the Charismatic Visitation. Lorraine and I are part of that. This time of visitation, which in its beginning was introduced primarily to the denominational churches, centered on an expanded understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So far, the pastors and teachers and evangelists and the prophets have been restored. During the charismatic visitation, the apostle should have been fully restored. But this did not happen, as gradually this time of visitation was rejected by the structured church. That was part of our conversation yesterday morning with one of the ladies. The charismatic visitation then moved into an independent gathering of those who were sincerely seeking something further. That's me. But again, it came short of its intended purpose of a further baptism of the Holy Spirit of fire. Instead, the emphasis centered on healing, the prophetic word to individuals, and as a result, came short of the interchange in lives that is essential for the full restoration of the apostolic. John the Baptist spoke of the Holy Spirit and fire baptism, which is yet to be fulfilled. In Matthew 3, verse 11, it says, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, which is a change of mind. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Notice in the following scripture that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but the tongues of fire remained sitting upon their heads, as this baptism of fire has been reserved until the end times. See, whenever we would teach the Life in the Spirit seminar, and she's a byproduct of that, baptism of the Holy Spirit was used in Acts chapter 2, and you can check that out for yourself. It says the flame was on top. It never went in. And that's what Wade is pointing out. The fire is now coming in. It's doing a work on the inside. It's making your thought life more evident. It's going into your head so that you can switch from your natural thinking to what Holy Ghost wants you to think, because he's moved in. And I thought that was very important to emphasize the reality. So again, listen carefully. Notice in the following scripture, which is Matthew 3, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but the tongues of fire remained sitting upon their heads, as this baptism of fire has been reserved until the end time. What are we now? We are in the end times. Okay? Acts chapter 2, which I will now describe. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. This end time baptism of fire goes beyond the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the accompanying gifts, and has to a twofold purpose. It will burn away all that hinders. Amen. Try that one on for size. Say, the fire will burn,
away
all that hinders. The end time visitation of the Lord, and it will reveal the Shekinah glory of the Lord. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. That's Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. The next level is 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, the purpose of the heart identified. And that's part of what we were talking about. For our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 29. Jesus ascended into glory, and as a part of his progressive return, notice its progress. Part of his progressive return, in parentheses, he puts the word parousia. The restoration of his glory is to be seen upon those who are overcomers. What have we been talking about today? Overcomers. The word parousia is presence. We talked about in the last couple of days about the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire is a evident reality by vision of his presence here. It is the restoration of his glory is to be seen upon those who are overcomers and will precede his personal visible appearance. So in other words, before he returns with his body visible in the earth, you're going to be aware that he's here as in a pillar of fire or as the glory cloud or as what Pat showed you. You're about to take flight.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Sorry.
See, one of the issues about believers is we have been under the anointing of Adam. We think like Adam, we act like Adam, we react like Adam. And we say, I can do this myself. Okay? And you're literally saying to Holy Spirit, I don't need you. Okay? And I did that. There was a season I thought I could do it on my own. I learned a lesson. I learned that I can't change an ounce of myself without the Holy Spirit. So, recognizing this truth says, if I am in Christ and dependent on my brothers and my sisters to intercede for me, getting rid of the snakes when the time is right. See, your love flow to each other is God's coordinates to get you to wake up about why you're in the earth. It's not all about you and what you want and what you thought you needed, but it is all about God saying, I'm preparing you for the kingdom that's coming. And the kingdom is a kingdom of God's grace and favor in the earth for 1,000 years he will rule. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's a prophetic word that he's giving. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Do you see it in the news? Mm-hmm. Do you see the fruits of darkness? Is it visible? Mm-hmm. Why focus on it? But the Lord shall arise upon you. Say, the Lord will arise upon me.
The Lord will arise upon me.
And his glory shall be seen.
And his glory shall be seen.
Upon me.
Upon me.
And the Gentiles.
And the Gentiles.
Shall come to my light.
Shall come to my light.
That's the unbelievers, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're going to be jealous of what you got. And kings to the brightness of your rising. We have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, along with empowering ministries and giftings. But we have yet to come to this baptism of fire, which will purge and purify the individual in preparation for the full restoration of the apostolic. Written in 2007, 13 years later, I'm preaching it and understanding it. I told you guys, I read this book actually 3 times. And the third time it went in. First couple of times, because there's so much in here. And I'm not advertising this man. I am advertising the Lord that prepared him ahead of us. Okay? And many things that he's done in my life, I can now impart to others that are younger than me. That's part of what being a father and a mother in Christ. I'm going to repeat now. We have yet to come to this baptism of fire, which will purge and purify the individual in preparation for the full restoration of the apostolic. This restored apostolic ministry will have a vital part in the end time visitation of the Lord in his manifested glory. which will prepare the way for the coming millennial kingdom. Clear? Clear. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the progression. These tongues, like as of fire, sat upon each of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There are two reasons why these tongues of fire are still sitting upon our heads. First, the Lord is waiting for an appointed time, the fullness of time, for his end time intervention in the church and in the affairs of the nations. Are we seeing something happening around the globe? In this 1 year so far, it's only 7 months old, and we've seen more of the people of the earth being affected in a similar way. I was watching the news from China yesterday, and the intense judgment that's going on against that nation and its leadership, it's absolutely astounding. Thousands upon thousands are not even being prepared for the potential wiping out of a whole area of that country because of floods and what they're literally getting, rain upon rain upon rain. They're losing their fields, etc. And it's not a small portion. It's a huge portion of that country. So the intervention, his end time intervention. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. So in other words, there's a timing in God when he sent his son. It had to be at that time and not another time. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's what's happening now. Second, along with our waiting for the fullness of time, there is another hindrance to the full release of this baptism of fire. This expression of Holy Spirit fire, which purges and purifies, was offered to the established and structured church during the charismatic visitation, but was rejected. Therefore, the Lord is waiting for the church to invite him to come in, to come within. For understand this, we must consider Israel, who had been offered the manifest glory of the Lord, or the Shekinah glory, but rejected it. So Israel was the first to reject the Holy Ghost and its fullness and its fire. And you'll find that in Exodus 19, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Watch now. Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Amen. Not the earthquake. The people were quaking. Exodus 20, verse 18 and 19. And all the people saw the thunderings. Hear me now. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Well, that's quite a comment. They were so afraid of losing control of their own lives that they said, Moses, you talk to us, we're on our own. Because the manifest glory, or the tongues of fire, had first been offered to Israel, but was rejected, the Lord requires us to invite this visitation of fire to come within us. Israel had said, let not God speak with us, lest we die. We also must face this same issue, knowing that all that is not of the Lord will be burned out of us as we die to our self-life. That is the best description of where we're walking right now. We are learning to live our lives in obedience to what he presses us to do, to carry out the commission that he wants, and our self-life has to take a back seat. It has to go into the trunk along with the brain. For 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord, even by the Spirit of the Lord. One characteristic of manifested glory is that it reflects, similar to a mirror. In this reflection as manifest glory, we are able to see ourselves as we are. I think you've had a description of that this morning. After Adam's transgression and the resultant loss of the Shekinah covering, he said that he was naked. He realized what he had done, and he hid from the presence of the Lord. I remember the first time I read this type of thing, and I realized that God dressed Adam with the skins of animals to match his choice. His animal-like nature was what he chose when he said no to God and his spirit. I can remember saying to the Lord many, many years ago, and some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to repeat it because I think it's important for a couple of people. When I was on the farm, I had a white Angora cat. He was quite big. His fur was probably about, I would say, between 3 and 4 inches long. And he was extremely beautiful. And he kept himself spotless. And so I had asked the question to the Lord, what did Adam and Eve look like before they felt naked? And he reminded me that in the Mountain of Transfiguration, that the Lord became light and it radiated from him, where the disciples, Peter, James, and John, just fell on the ground, okay? They weren't able to look at the brightness of his reality. That means that their spirit was radiating light and they couldn't see their own bodies. And the Lord gave me a flashback of my cat without a hair on him. And obviously, he's not so attractive without any hair. He said, if a cat releases his beauty from the inside, why can't man release its beauty from the inside? It's because the lights went out. And I never forgot that vision because, you see, it woke me up. It said you need my light in you to radiate out. And that light will change the atmosphere in a room. Oh my God. I hit a brick wall right now. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, let me digest what that truth is. When we gather as a group, there's more light than there was when we're on our own in our room. Because it multiplies. When we gather together, what happens? There is an anointing. The rules back in March and April forbid us to gather together. Why? We're scaring the pants off the enemy.
Amen. When Darlene was talking to us a long time ago, I kept when you were talking about electricity, the word that kept coming to me was radiating. And I kept seeing a light switch over and over and over, a light switch and bright light.
Thank you. This also happened to Isaiah. When the heavens opened and he saw the manifest glory of the Lord, instead of hiding from the Lord, Isaiah immediately repented. He changed his mind. Instead of running, he said, whoa! Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In effect, Isaiah is saying, when all that I have depended upon was removed, I finally looked up and saw the Lord. Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 4. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried to another, and he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. In the presence of manifest glory, Isaiah saw himself as he really was, and he changed his mind. He repented. Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Ha! When you get a vision and you awaken to the truth, it should impact you to go for more and never get satisfied with what you got. Never get happy with what you finally received. Even if it's a lot of goodies, there's always more of God that he's going to download to you when you decide that you need more and want more. The children of Israel were willing to hear the word of the Lord, but they did not want their inner lives exposed. Nor did they desire to change as Isaiah desired. Isaiah wanted more. The Israelites said, back off. I don't want you in my heart. I don't want you exposing the stuff that I have. I don't want to change. I'm happy the way I am. And he said, yes, I'll respect your decision. Enjoy your ugly ride. Because that's what you get. Mm-hmm. Without him enlightening you, you're having an ugly ride. Mm-hmm. And everybody else gets blessed but me. Because of my choices. Exodus 19 and 11, verse 11. But the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all people upon the people upon Mount Sinai. The Lord has desired to reveal himself to all the people, but This revelation of his visible glory was rejected. Therefore, the Lord withdrew into a tiny 10 by 10 cubicle, the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could approach him once a year. There's your Day of Atonement. Notice that this visitation in which the Lord came down, manifested his presence in the sight of the people, was in the beginning of the third day, which is the millennial. Each day represents 1,000 years. You'll find that. It came to pass on the third day in the morning, Exodus 19, verse 16. Luke 13, 32. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Who is he talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ. Are we close to that third day? We're in the threshold and walking through it. We are approaching that time when this baptism of fire will again appear. As a side note, in 2009, I spent a little bit of time with this author. He was ministering in New York. And he said to us, in 2009, we have already started the time clock of the new millennium. And that was in December. So the time clock of the change is progressive. And it continues, and it continues, because a day for our God is 1,000 years. When we are approaching the time when this baptism of fire will again appear, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That's us. Say, I'm the temple.
I'm the temple.
Remember the song we used to sing?
Temple of the Holy Ghost.
Huh?
Yeah. Lord, prepare me. Is that
you can sing the song, but not believe it.
Mm-hmm. Just words.
Yeah. It's a nice tune, and you can dance till the cows come home. Won't change a thing. It won't change a thing. I've seen people dance before the Lord, and they got so high in the natural realm, and they would leave the room as dry as they walked in. What was wrong? Because it was a carnal joy. It wasn't a Holy Ghost joy. The Holy Ghost joy won't leave you. It won't leave you. It'll lay dormant, depending on what your thought patterns are. Okay. I better back that one up. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This refiner's fire is an end time immersion in manifest glory, in manifest Shekinah glory, which will purge and purify lives in preparation for the restoration of true apostolic authority, with creative miracles and confirming signs. That's the next level. These two areas of spiritual experience, the restored manifest glory of the Lord being revealed, and apostolic authority functioning in power with consequences, will be a primary indicator that we are in the time of the closing out of the church age and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. Matthew 3, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, it starts in your mind. It starts with thoughts. Yeah, that was pounded home this weekend. Okay? And you and I have an accountability. When the Lord came within the temple of his day, he drove out those who made merchandise of the sacred. Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple. Carefully listen to these words, because it's important to see under the anointing what he did. Okay? Because when we ask for the fire of God to come in, it's like somebody using a whip. Jesus gave us a visible example of what it was like to clean out my temple. Okay? And it's not you doing it and whipping yourself, which is totally out of order. Because you can't do it. And you'll get discouraged and depressed. Right or wrong?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Listen carefully. I'm going to repeat it. Jesus went into the temple of God. His Holy Spirit is in my temple.
Amen.
All right. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. How? What's robbing? It's the thought patterns that are in me. It's my actions and reactions that are ungodly, and then I get accusing. And I start accusing instead of accusing the accuser and using the Lord and say, would you whip him out of here?
Arresting him. Mm-hmm.
So it's not you whipping, it's him. So also today, for in the new covenant, we are the temple of God. Clear, right? 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I don't know how any clearer you can make it. Therefore, when Jesus comes within us as this baptism of fire, he will again purge and burn up the chaff that is within his temple, me. As he did in that day, This will result in a true purity of life in which the creative word can be spoken with authority. Revelations 2, 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This restoration of manifest glory and creative word of the Lord being spoken with authority. There are times that you're going to find you have authority that come out of your mouth, and it's not you, it's him. Amen. It's his spirit that says, cut it out. Through all those who have yielded their bodies unconditionally to the Lord and have invited this baptism of fire to come within will greatly affect the nations in preparations for the millennial kingdom to be established. Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2. Take a deep breath. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house, that the mountain of the Lord, of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When we get a reality check of his purpose in us, and when we get that truth that I can't do it on my own, that independent spirit has got to back down to the Lord's plan. And as I was preparing this morning, he told me, when you open your mouth, I'll fill it, because I wanted to prepare. And there were times he does allow some preparation. I knew where to start. I had no idea where we would stop. But I believe right now we need to just lift our hands to him and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I need you more than ever.
I need you more than ever.
I need you now.
I need you now.
As that fire
that is needed in me.
To burn out the chaff.
Keep the good stuff.
Keep the wheat.
But get rid of the chaff.
Because it produces nothing.
It hinders me
from maturing.
Into what God has prepared for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.